Tim's News Explosion. 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 Tim's News Explosion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tim's News Explosion on this Monday, the 15th of April, 2024. We are live on the Wilmsfront YouTube channel, the Wilmsfront Odyssey channel, and the Wilmsfront Rumble channels. Hello to everyone in the live chats. Post a comment to make yourself known. It is 9 p.m. here in Melbourne, Victoria, and sadly we here know how Sydneysiders will be feeling right now, given the mass casualty car rampage in the Bourke Street Mall in 2017, where James Gargasoulis murdered six people, including a baby, and then we were subjected to copycat car murderers in the Melbourne CBD in the later months and years to follow. Now, up in Sydney, in the aftermath of the Bondi Junction shopping centre stabbing attack on Saturday afternoon, where Joel Couchy murdered six people and was shot dead by New South Wales police officer Amy Scott, who was heroic, dished out instant justice with two safe and effective shots from her pistol. There has been another stabbing in Sydney tonight. This is at the Christ of the Good Shepherd Church in Fairfield. And the target, because it was captured on a live stream, is Bishop Mama Emmanuel. And so this was, it says right here on this website that he has one of his services is on Bible study Monday evening at 7 p.m. At the beginning, a man approached him and repeatedly stabbed him. So the vision has gone all around the world on Twitter X. I'm not going to show it here because that'll just give YouTube an excuse to censor my stream. I know that all the politicians and all the media people are saying, we've seen it, don't watch it. Well, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't watch. It's out there and it's news. And now, in the immediate aftermath, so this appears to be an Assyrian church, a bishop. Mama Emmanuel is a very popular bishop. He has 120,000 followers, I think, on the YouTube channel, and then 250,000 on a Facebook group. That's what I've heard. So Fairfield is in southwestern Sydney. It's one of Sydney's multicultural centres. In fact, a YouTuber, Jamie Ju, who's half Chinese, half Hungarian, was in Fairfield the other week doing a vox pop about mass migration, which was very sympathetic to the migrants. The local federal member there is Dai Li, the independent, and the mayor of Fairfield is Frank Carboni. Together, they're the Carboni Lee Network, and it's a very the parishioners. They are very angry that their beloved bishop has been. There's apparently four people who have been stabbed. Reported to be stabbed. The bishop is okay. In fact, the report is that he prayed for his stabber while he was being stabbed. He's been rushed to Liverpool Hospital. He looks like he will be fine. Pete Coisterman says National Knife Owners Registry when? Well, there apparently are reports that he stabbed him with a pen, not a knife. Again, the just like at the reports around the stabbing at Bondi Junction, there is a lot that we don't know. And I didn't speculate when I heard that the Bondi Junction shopping center on Saturday afternoon was in lockdown. I didn't join the speculation. I noticed that I was actually, at the time, I was in Zara, Melbourne CBD, and Zara was one of the stores where Joel Gauci carried out his stabbing murders. So I was actually in the heart of the Melbourne CBD shops at the time. And sadly, it's always in the back of your mind now, whether you're on public transport or in a shopping center, that there could be some mentally unhinged lunatic who could pull out a knife and start stabbing. Remember in Melbourne last year, there was a mentally ill person who robbed a 7-Eleven and then jumped on a tram and threatened to stab and kill the women on the tram. He was tasered by police. Thankfully didn't stab any of the women, but that was terrifying. And when I say mentally ill, these are the people that shout, can be aggressive. I'm not talking about the mentally ill lefties. They're the ones who have the warped political views, who are out blocking Hoddle Street today for Palestine. They're probably doing Extinction Rebellion last week. This is not the politically mentally ill. This is the Joel Gauci was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was 17. And a lot of people have been talking about we need to bring back mental hospitals, to commit people to mental hospitals. Joel Gauci's father, and his mother were spoke to the media today. The vultures were there trying to get a comment from them. I mean, their son was 40 years old. There's not much they could do. They had concerns for him and their own safety because he had a fascination with knives and had stopped taking his medication. So this is what some of what he told the media vultures who were camped outside their Toowoomba home.
Look, knowing that the police are going to shoot him dead, if he just raises a knife, and he had a fascination with knives, look, the police should, this crime should never have happened, okay?
We've certainly had, I think, not just the excusing of criminal violent acts because of mental illness, but also that basically it's become a popular thing to say I have mental illness as well. There's basically been, and again, these leftists, a lot of them claim they have anxiety, ADHD, autism diagnosed. There's the ADHD autism diagnosis. I mean, there's the National Disability Insurance scam, where all of these are getting on with autism diagnosis. And then, of course, we have that sex offenders were on the, well, you'd call it now, the National Deviant Insurance scam. So there's all of this being focused on people who suffer from mental illness. They're the real victims. Now, not every person who has a mental illness or schizophrenia is going to carry out a frenzied stabbing attack. I mean, there are mentally ill people who they will speak gibberish, but they're harmless. When I was in the Melbourne CBD on Saturday, I think I was walking down I think I was walking further down Bourke Street, and there was this There was this fat, middle-aged Asian lady. She may have been Chinese, but she was yelling laughingly, hysterically, sort of like a female Joker. And obviously, Joker was about a mentally ill man who slipped through the cracks and, well, committed, inspired more mass murderers. And there's obviously Joker 2, the sequel with Lady Gaga coming out later this year. Now, as I said, we don't know the motive of the perpetrator or the alleged attacker of this bishop in Fairfield. Mama Emmanuel. But like I said, the riot squad has been called into Fairfield because, it was a Syrian church. And we know that obviously members of this congregation, they feel that this is an attack on their faith. So this is some live footage that has come out of outside the church at Fairfield. So it's a very tense and shocking. Well, the fact that a bishop was stabbed in a church, I mean, that is very, you would say, French, where there are constantly these knife attacks against members of the clergy. What happened at Bondi Junction on Saturday was more like what happens in America, the mass casualty events. And I know that I think it was Anthony Albanese said, and that was echoed by politicians from both sides of politics, thank God for John Howard's gun control laws. Otherwise, it could have been armed with a gun, and there could have been more murder victims. I mean, that's cold comfort to the six murder victims of Joel Cauchy. And they have all been identified. Their families are happy for their photos to be released. I'll just put this up on the screen now. So going from a left to right, Jade Young, 47, the only male victim, Faraz Tahir, who was a Pakistani Muslim refugee. It actually just started. And we know that a lot of security guards these days are very useless. I mean, just look at the ones at sporting matches. They can't even catch a pitch invader, and a lot of them only got the job probably because their cousin works there. But he gave his life trying to stop this murderer. We can call him a murderer now because he's been summarily executed. Instant justice saved us all having to call Joel Cauchy an alleged murderer. We can just call him a murderer because you can't prejudice the trial of a dead person. So Ashley Good, 38, she was the mother whose baby was stabbed, who looks like will make a recovery, but will grow up without their mother. And it's a real Sophie's choice. I mean, obviously, we all wish the attack had never happened, but I am glad that the baby survived because it's got their whole life ahead of them. And I don't think we could cope like with the Bourke Street rampage, Gargasoulis, another baby dying. But still, the fact that a new mother had been murdered. That is horrific. A Pinkeray Darkshire 55. Dawn Singleton, the daughter of racing identity and former 2GB owner John Singleton, and Juan Cheng, 27, an international student whose fiance is back in China. So, yes, absolutely horrific. And I was already going to say tonight, I hope there are no copycats, that we don't, because this is what has happened in the United States. They have a sick society where it all started with the Columbine school shooting in 1999. And now the mentally ill, the evil, they decide that they want to go out with a bang and kill, murder a whole bunch of people. DML says, yeah, we could have had a gun that was banned in 1996 like the Martin Place siege had. Well, that lasted for nearly a whole day. And like I said, I'm glad that that courageous police officer, Amy Scott, was able to shoot him dead and end it immediately there. And obviously, when the reports of a mass stabbing were circulating, I did know that many pro-Zionist accounts, because it was in Bondi where there's a concentration of Jewish people there, they didn't explicitly say it, but said, wink, 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 wink. It's probably a Islam attacker who's targeting Jews. And then we had the police commissioner, Karen Webb, come out in the evening, say that it wasn't terrorism related. The offender was known to police, but we're waiting to confirm his identity. They should have, when they had confirmed Joel Cauchy, they should have put the name out, because then it allowed misinformation to come out, which people are blaming Syrian girl and the Aussie Cossack for. There was a common Jewish name that was put forward as the name of the perpetrator. I won't repeat it. They didn't announce until the Sunday morning that it was Joel Cauchy. He had never been had a criminal record for domestic violence or anything, but schizophrenia. He'd been off his medication and had a fascination with knives. The parents spoke, I think, as best that they could. They said that their son was sick. Amy Scott, the police officer, did the right thing. And also they felt for the victims as well, and they can't be held responsible for their son's actions. He was a 40-year-old man. There's only in this, where we don't have mental institutions, and like mental institutions today wouldn't be like the old ones where they did electroshock therapy and other cruel practices. It would be for their safety, for everyone else's safety. Yes, mentally ill people have rights, but we also have the right not to be stabbed when we go to the shopping center or on public transport. Now, the name Cauchy is a Maltese name, and many people believe that that it was an Islamist because Cauchy looked like he was of Middle Eastern or ethnic appearance. Now, Malta is an island nation south of Italy. A lot of them are dark skinned, like the southern Italians, and their skin tends to be fluid. So it can go from dark to light. But it seems in the aftermath that the Twitter X feminists who are claiming that this is a misogynistic attack because he mainly targeted women perpetrated by white male. So I guess that concludes the debate about whether a Mediterranean Europeans, Southern Italians, Maltese are white. And I guess that means that Gabriel Mare, who is the leader of the Groypers in Australia, well, de facto hosts the Nick Fuentes sanctioned Australia First live stream, though he hasn't live streamed this year, is white. So now, there, of course, have been some other theories in the aftermath. Some believe that this is a Mossad false flag gone wrong, and Gauci was a Manchurian candidate patsy that they could drug because Iran was about to attack Israel with missiles. And so their theory is, there's no evidence for this theory, to have Islamist attacks in major Western cities to get the Western populace into supporting a Western war in Iran. Again, no evidence for this, and there was no similar stabbing attacks in public places in other Western nations. Then there was the theory by Blair Cottrell, because it was revealed that Joel Cauchy had profiles on male escort websites and advertised services to male and females. So, and Blair Cottrell said, gay prostitute is a highly medicated, unhinged psycho. Who would have thought? That was also his argument about Beaulamar Condon. We have to say the alleged murderer of that gay couple, Jesse Baird and Luke Davies, a month ago. So if he is bisexual, then I guess that rules out the incel angle, though his father did say he believes that he targeted women because he wanted a girlfriend and had absolutely no social skills. So and this is something that the TERFs and the third wave feminists have been united on, because it doesn't matter whether it's second wave feminism, which TERFs come from, or third wave feminism, they're all grounded in misandry. And so Angela Jones, who is one of the most prevalent TERFs on social media, posted, the Bondi attacker didn't ask his victims for their pronouns before attacking them. He attacked them on the basis of their sex, not their gender identity. Women need sex-based protections to keep them safe from violent men. Legislation needs to reflect that obvious need. How would that have protected the women in a open shopping center? And if there was a trans woman who was shopping there, would a schizophrenia who was targeting women be able to tell, oh wait, that's actually a biological male, I won't stab them? And also, is Angela Jones implying that the women would be safe in a female toilet because Joel Gauci wouldn't go in there? I mean, he's committed multiple acts of murder, but better not go. I'm just speaking hypothetically here to just debunk that there. If somebody's committing murders, I don't think they're going to be deterred by a female restroom there. So Brucey says, apparently the crowd have the guy. No, that's not true. There's lots of rumors circulating around. He's in custody. That's not true, Brucey. He is in custody. There is going to be a lot of unconfirmed reports that turn out to be misinformation. And this, the fact that, well, and this happens with the US mass shootings as well. both sides of politics, they're waiting to see who the perpetrator is, whether they have the political ideology, so they can use it to their political advantage. And the e-safety communications minister, Michelle Rowland, asked people to report distressing content to Australia's e-safety commissioner. And so this is going to be used as a justification for the Albanese government, Michelle Rowland, to pass the misinformation laws. That won't go to the e-safety commissioner, Julie Inman Grant. That will go to the Australian Communications and Media Authority. So they'll use this, the fact that because, well, we live in a 24-hour, not just a 24-hour news cycle, in a 24-hour social media news cycle. So we should just wait until we do get some information from police. But people don't believe the police either. They're also claiming that Joel Gauci is not the same man who was in the Bondi Junction shopping centre. He was wearing a Kangaroos rugby league jersey and shorts. So I don't know, maybe there's an issue with rugby league buffhead culture. I mean, they're punching on nearly every weekend, the rugby league buffheads. So I tell you what, if he was wearing a Socceroos outfit, they'd be called to cancel the whole A-League season. At the Sydney Derby on Saturday night, we have to say, alleged Nazi salute carried out by a Western Sydney Wanderers, allegedly Western Sydney Wanderers supporter in the active supporter area. As Davir Abramovich told the media, yet it felt like he'd been stabbed in the heart. I mean, laws against the swastika and Nazi salute. The fact that we've had people stabbed and murdered should put laws like this into perspective. We're prosecuting people for, well, to use a soccer terminology, for when a handball is given, he had his arm in an unnatural position. That is the official soccer terminology. So Football Australia is investigating, and as this ABC article goes over here, Football Australia issued a lifetime ban for a person who used a gesture during the 2022 Australia Cup final between Sydney United, which is a Croatian team, and MacArthur. And then apparently there was another incident of a Nazi salute during the recent Unite round in Sydney. He got a Melbourne Victory supporter got a 5-year ban. I've got the live Sky News feed in front of me from Fairfield. It does seem to be people angry there. It seems that the police presence there. I assume you people in the chat will keep me informed of. I'll try and make a judgment about whether DML says man raises arm, slow news day. Well, yes, it really just should be a minor incident compared to, well, we've had people murdered in Sydney that day. And, you know, there's a difference between getting stabbed in the heart and dying and saying that you were metaphorically stabbed. How many times has Devere said he's felt like he's been stabbed in the heart? About 15 times? Or what's the other one he says? It felt like his heart was ripped out. But yes, it definitely feels like what is happening to our country at the moment. Well, at least for once, it's not Melbourne. I mean, we've already had enough violence and murders and alleged murders going on, and obviously we have a tense international international environment as well, where Iran had basically given the heads up that they were going to retaliate against Israel for their attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria, which killed several generals in its Revolutionary Guard. So this wasn't an unprovoked missile attack into Israel by Iran, and it sort of seemed like it was done by the Iranian military just to show that they were taking revenge, because 99% were shot by Israel's Iron Dome, which was largely funded by the United States taxpayer, as is signified by the meme that I used in the title, my tax dollars, some of the missiles, somehow my tax dollars. Though a lot of people talk about Obama and Biden giving the Iranians money. That was actually their money that was frozen in accounts. There's apparently a person throwing things at police outside the church in Belfield. I'd say that if the offender's in custody, why is the riot squad turning up if the offender's no longer there? I mean, like I said, just asking questions here, it seems like the police's presence there is actually antagonizing the situation. Now, you saw the Zionist neocons claim that an attack on Israel is an attack on the United States. There was only one victim, a 12-year-old Arab Israeli. So there's more of a case for, I guess, Australia going to war with Malta, because a man with a Maltese surname murdered seven people at an Australian shopping mall. And thankfully, pretty much all of the Western leaders they back Israel's right to self-defense, but they're not going to fight a war for Iran. And there's not going to be many Americans who I think are going to sign up to defend Israel, given, the United States southern border is not, the US borders aren't even being protected. This was shared by Elijah Schaefer, fuck America, protect Israel, enlist today, faggot, with free gender surgery. Now, if you're an AFL player, you get a 3-week suspension for saying faggot on the field. That's what Port Adelaide supporter Jeremy Finlayson found out last week. And of course, you want to sign up as an American to fight for Israel. Not only can they put pride flags over in Gaza, but also in Tehran as well. Don't you want to see pride flags in Tehran and also in Moscow and St. Petersburg, turn it into St. Penisburg? So yes, this was another meme here. Our kids look like this, dead, so Tel Aviv can look like this. I'm of the generation that remembers the disaster of the Iraq War, the Afghan War. Police are moving in, it seems. They've got you can see their baton sticks there. They're moving in there. So I'm just, like I said, I've got the Sky News feed there. There's being projectiles being thrown. There's a car, there's a police window smashed. This is looking very, very bad. And now, you remember last week that Peter Dutton, he said that after the October 9 pro-Palestine protest outside the Opera House, where well, New South Wales Police told us they weren't chanting "Gas the Jews, but where's the Jews," said that Anthony Albanese failed the test of leadership to take a stand against anti-Semitism, just like John Howard took a stand against guns after the Port Arthur massacre. And people are saying that obviously what was said was very tense, and you would say what they said was completely abhorrent. But nobody was injured there, let alone died. So to say them both in the same sentence, the protest around the Opera House, where inflammatory language was chanted to the murder of 34 Australians at Port Arthur in 1996. And Peter Dutton, he sat down with Sherry Markson last week, and he said that the police are woke and that they need to prosecute, because the Liberal Party supports hate speech vilification laws now, that they need to prosecute all of these hate preachers, and also said it should be mandatory for all school students to visit a Holocaust museum, because apparently students today are being fed anti-Israel hate. I don't know about you, but I recall it was one of the first things we learned about in school, the Holocaust. I mean, we were taught about it at multiple grade levels, that this was the most abhorrent genocide in history. I mean, the viewers would concur that there was a repeated Holocaust education in schools. And also the Conservative Inc. Zionists, they are really angry with Tucker Carlson for interviewing a Palestinian Christian priest in Bethlehem. And they said, why didn't you interview Christian leaders who are more comfortable in Israel? Christian Bethlehem population has declined since it was handed over to the Palestinian Authority, though it's in the West Bank. It has a heavy IDF presence. It's not free flowing. There's Israel Palestine conflicts and violence and deaths there. And Christians get caught in the crossfire. And it's his right, I guess, to identify as a Palestinian. They played some footage of him having a moral equivalence between what Hamas did on October 7 and what all the Gazans who've been murdered over the years. Obviously, we have the unhinged, a pro-Palestine activist here in Melbourne blocking traffic. They also blocked train tracks, but they were topped this week by Riddhi Patel, who went before the Bakerfield City Council, and because she was upset that there's now metal detectors going into the city council meeting, and because they wouldn't let their council wouldn't allow a ceasefire motion, Riddhi Patel, she decided that she thought basically at the time that it was acceptable because they all get 2 minutes, whether at a school board meeting or a city council meeting, members of the public, to make a speech, which is broadcast live on the internet.
Here to speak in support of the city council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care, because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs, because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people, but the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you motherfuckers. The increased criminalization for no need other than you don't like when people come and hold you guys accountable for introducing ceasefire resolutions, because the only escalation in violence has been by you all, and so there's no need to continue. In the last 5 years I've attended city council meetings, there's never been metal detectors, there's never been more cops. The only reason you're doing it is because people actually don't care if you guys don't like them, and they're actually resisting, so you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die, and for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors. We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
Now, she fucked around and found out, so she's facing 18 felony charges, and now she's very teary now, but this is, basically, this is where mental disorders accumulate to. Believing that you're entitled to threaten a murder, political terrorism, at a council meeting. And I should have said that Bakersfield City Council is in California, but that sort of goes without saying. And she works as an economic development coordinator at the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment. In 2019, she volunteered for Bernie Sanders' campaign. So, yes, this is peak. This is an extreme manifestation of political mental disorder. Now, let's go to what was the biggest story today, and saw what happened at the Christ of the Good Shepherd Church tonight, and that was the Lehman versus Network 10 judgment delivered by Federal Court Justice Michael Lee. He concluded that on the balance of probabilities, Bruce Lehman raped Brittany Higgins, though this is a 300-page judgment. So, and balance of probabilities is not the same as beyond reasonable doubt. It's on the balance of, balance of probabilities is more likely than not. And because it went for over 2 hours, like it went through the entire judgment, and you can read the judgment on the Federal Court website. I'll see if I've, hopefully I put it up here on the, I can search it here. Now, obviously the defamation trial was live streamed, but it couldn't be broadcast on the TV networks, though the judgment could be. Oh, yeah, so here we go here. So, yeah, I'll put the link into it in the live chat, but he said that both Bruce Lehman and Brittany Higgins basically, they weren't good witnesses. They were both, were lying. So, Brittany Higgins, we can still call her Brittany Fibbins, and he ruled that she did politically weaponize her rape accusation against Bruce Lehman. So Linda Reynolds and Fiona Brown, he found that they whether they acted with the utmost integrity, which will be good for Linda Reynolds in her defamation case against Bruce Lehrman and her fiance David Shiraz. Lisa Wilkinson was outside the court claiming I reported a true story. Justice Lee, he also gave Network 10 and her a serve over her Logie's speech and wanted this story to fit fit a certain narrative. And that was obviously clear in the tapes that we heard on the 7 News Spotlight program, where Lisa Wilkinson is coaching Brittany Higgins what to say. Certainly, it brings into question the multi-million dollar payout for apparently not providing a safe workplace, even though Brittany Higgins, she willingly went back to Parliament House after midnight with Bruce Lehrman to keep drinking. Now, Justice Lee said he didn't rule out that she may have consented. He did say that she was passive and that Bruce Lehrman didn't, this is just his opinion, that was determined to have sex with her, whether consent was there or not, and that she couldn't consent because she was so drunk. The conclusion that we can draw for all men going forward is that, regardless of whether you believe that affirmative consent laws are fair or not, that's what you're going to have to do if you want. And when I say men have sex with a woman, I mean a biological man with a penis, a biological woman with a vagina. If you as a biological man want to have sex with a biological woman, you have to get constant affirmative consent, because consent can be withdrawn anytime. So basically the woman has to keep saying, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, for the sex to be consensual right the way through. Pete Ozyman says the media class were quick to get on their soapbox about giving women a voice if they need another one. So pretty much Justice Lee, he said that there was no evidence of a political cover-up, and so the fact that it was politically weaponized he was just ruling on the rape itself. Now, it's a balance of probabilities. He said this is not beyond all reasonable doubt. This is not a criminal court. So he is not Bruce Lehman's not a convicted rapist. Neither is Ben Robert Smith a convicted war criminal, even though he lost his defamation case against the Nine Network. And now, the knives are out is probably a poor analogy. Out for Channel 7 and Kerry Stokes, given that, bankrolled Ben Robert Smith's defamation trial against Channel 9 and Nick McKenzie, and also gave Bruce Lehrman a platform on his Spotlight program. They did 2 episodes about Bruce Lehrman, and they're also after 7 News Spotlight because it did a report on detransitioners, youth who'd been given some who'd been given puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and 2 women who had been given mastectomies. So even in the UK, there has been the CAS review into the NHS's gender identity services. So it's called the CAS review because it was conducted by Dr. Hilary Cass, a paediatrician, and basically found these gender clinics, the gender clinicians were not By prescribing puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, they're basically giving these children experimental drugs. That there was not enough evidence to deem that they are safe and effective, and it basically goes down to here that this is not how medicine is supposed to be conducted, because the other European countries such as Sweden, Norway, the Nordic countries, well, they have not banned puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for underage, but only in clinical trials. They weren't even like making notes, like they were conducting basically live trials on these children, but weren't actually documenting it all down. It is quite damning on the instant affirmation model, which is the law here in Australia now, in Victoria, New South Wales, and Queensland. There seems no appetite among our politicians to have an inquiry into puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. It's been defeated in every parliament where it's been put into Australia. And at the same time, also in the federal court, we have the Tickle versus Giggle case, where a 50-year-old trans woman, Roxanne Tickle, is suing a Giggle for Girls app, which was created by Sal Grover, who is a TERF, believes that men can't become women. She's a former Hollywood screenwriter. Now, in my opinion, the Giggle app, it sounds like such... Like the name, just makes me believe it's an inane app. If any of you read any of these sort of mummy blogger websites, these mum influence ones, they're all inane crap. And so that's basically what, you know, obviously I'm not the target of this app as a biological male. Sal Grover. She has claimed that 48 biological men tried to, because she had an AI facial recognition, but it didn't pick up Roxanne Tickle. Roxanne Tickle complained to the Human Rights Commission, claiming gender discrimination, because under the Sex Discrimination Act now, there's no protection for biological sex anymore, but there is for gender identity, kind of like in Scotland now. And now the Human Rights Commission, their sex discrimination commissioner is there as a friend of the court. The commissioner is not party to the proceedings and not made submissions about whether Miss Tickle, calls Roxanne Tickle, Miss Tickle, in fact, discriminated against, and said, we have attended here because conciliation could not be agreed to, because they want to re-educate Sal Grover on her transphobia and not calling Roxanne Tickle a she, because Roxanne Tickle has had they call it gender affirmation surgery now. Now, Roxanne Tickle plays women's hockey and uses the women's change rooms and has been on ABC and SBS to talk about why they are in a female sports team and go to the women's change rooms.
Roxy Tickle took up hockey again this year at the age of 50. She plays for East Lismore Hockey Club.
It took me about a month to work up the courage to contact a local club. And then when I did, I needed to come down to see them one night at training to have a talk through how it might work, whether I was even allowed to play. I didn't know whether that was the case or not. And coming down that night, it was terrifying. But as soon as I got here, they were amazing.
Yeah, Roxy's got some spunk, that's for sure.
Roxy, you're a transgender woman from regional New South Wales. You played hockey for 10 years from when you were 16 years old, but you stopped when you were 26. Why?
Something didn't feel quite right. And it has taken me decades longer to look back and try and dissect that and understand that I really didn't like being in the male changing rooms. They were, I felt really uncomfortable there. I didn't like the smells or the sounds.
And now people have been saying, does Roxanne Tickle look like a woman? I would say yes. Roxanne Tickle looks like Magda Szubanski, who is a biological female. And so women can look like that because that's how Magda Szubanski looks like. Maybe Magda Szubanski can play Roxanne Tickle in a movie. Brucey says, if you feel any sympathy for this, you are messed up in the head. So we will get the next big federal court decision is, what is a woman? Is a woman defined in Australia or not? Now, let's move on to, I'm actually going through this news pretty quickly. So let's go on to, well, some other crime and also stabbing news. Well, let's start with a good guy with a knife. And that is 66-year-old a Gold Coast pensioner and a widow, Alan Carr, who stabbed to death one of two home invaders. But he still might be charged for defending himself in his own home from two home invaders. We've had a mother in Brisbane in December 2023, allegedly stabbed and murdered by a home intruder. And then, of course, there was the Doncaster doctor earlier this year, subject to a home invasion. How come? Because they're over almost exclusively male youths. These home invaders. How come? There's not a talk about their crimes being motivated by misogyny. So we need to take them seriously because a lot of the victims are women. Or is it because a lot of these youth gang crime members are certain shades of black, then all of a sudden we see a lot of females being apologists for them. Oh, you know, they're good boys who didn't do nothing. They just need, you know, some good, some good social work and they'll be on the right track. So unbelievably, Alan Kerr could still be charged. This is a 10 News report.
Good evening. First tonight, a widower described by police as frail and living alone south of the Gold Coast could be charged after stabbing a burglar to death. The 66-year-old was attacked with an axe and almost had his arm severed before fighting back with a knife.
A pair of intruders armed to the teeth, ready for a fight, and they got one when they stormed the home of 66-year-old widower Alan Kerr.
About 8 p.m. last night, police responded to a call for service at a residential address in Howard Street at Kingscliff.
Officers found 29-year-old Trey Laurie with a stab wound to the chest on the front patio. He was wearing a balaclava and died shortly after paramedics arrived. Detectives say he was stabbed in self-defence by the home's occupant.
It will be alleged that the deceased and another unknown male entered the premises with force and without consent, where they've confronted the occupant and struck him multiple times with an axe.
Leaving 66-year-old Alan with a partially severed arm, police described him as frail, a widower who lives alone and fought back.
Informed that the occupant, in self-defence and attempting to defend himself, has armed himself with a knife and struck the deceased to the chest, and those actions caused fatal injuries.
There's no known link between the intruders and Mr. Kerr. It's believed the attack was random. Alan was flown to the Gold Coast for emergency surgery. Tonight, police can't rule out whether he will be charged.
We'll also be examining the circumstances surrounding the actions of the occupant and if his actions were lawful and reasonable.
The second would-be burglar fled the Kingscliff home in a silver Corolla found abandoned nearby. Detectives are scouring the suburb, but they have little to go on. The missing thief could be aged anywhere between 20 and 40. Tonight, he's urged to hand himself in. Matt Johnston for 10 News First.
They did catch the armed home invader, and the media has blurred his face out, but he is also the same dark skin complexion as the now deceased home invader, Trey Laurie. I wonder if they are also considering charging him with a racially motivated hate crime, even though they're both wearing balaclavas. You're not allowed to defend yourself if they had an axe. And, well, clearly they didn't know how to swing the axe. If Trey Laurie died from a stab wound, he won't be missed. I mean, instant justice again. But the fact that there isn't even an investigation on this poor pensioner widower. Obviously, we've had a lot of horrific violence, murderers, alleged murders this year. The feminists they tend to focus on the white male perpetrator. I mean, they seem to gloss over the fact there are recent imports who are committing sexual violent offences, and the town of Ballarat, they had another young woman allegedly murdered, though. Unlike the investigation into Samantha Murphy's disappearance and, well, the charge of murder of Patrick Oren Stevenson, they were able to instantly arrest the alleged murderer of 23-year-old Clunes woman, which is a town outside of Ballarat. I used to live there, Hannah Maguire. So they've charged her ex-boyfriend Lachlan Young over her death. And now they bought a house together. So they were quite serious for a while. And there's also another tragedy in Ballarat has been the death of a Ballarat miner, Kurt Hogan. There has been another woman who has been allegedly murdered in Ballarat. Have they mentioned here? There was another one. I should try and get her name as well. But yes, there was another vigil in Ballarat. There's unconfirmed reports just in, just from Fairfield with regards to the alleged perpetrator of the stabbing of the Bishop of the Christ of the Good Shepherd Church, Mama Emmanuel. Apparently, his fingers were chopped off by a member or members of the congregation. That is unconfirmed reports. So I wonder if the feminists, they will remember years back, they proposed a curfew for men. Women, they should feel safe going out at night. And so therefore, because curfews are all the rage at the moment. The Alice Springs curfew has been extended. We were subject to curfews here in Victoria during the COVID lockdowns. Though, who's going to, because bad men are not going to obey a curfew. So, you go, like, and I know that these feminists don't believe in guns or women protecting themselves because they believe it should teach men not to not to rape. I'm just getting some updates here. I'll try to bring you as much confirmed news as I can gather here, because it's been a while since we've gone to air where there has been breaking news. Now, moving on to health news. So we last week it was reported that WorkSafe Victoria has paid out millions in COVID jab compensation claims. There has been a 130 proven illnesses related to vaccines, and millions has been paid out in compensation. This is just in Victoria alone. And we had last week a Nine News. They talked about the sudden increase in cardiac arrests here in Victoria.
The number of Victorians dying from sudden cardiac arrest has skyrocketed by 20% over the past 5 years. As Eliza Rugg reports, St John Ambulance is working to reverse the trend, rolling out publicly accessible defibrillators in high-risk postcodes.
Andrew Conway says without his CPR-trained wife Leanne and a defibrillator, his seventh cardiac arrest could have been his last.
I was in bed and I had an arrest in my sleep.
Nearly 8,000 Victorians suffered a sudden cardiac arrest between 2022 and 2023, an increase of 20% compared to the previous 5 years, in part because more incidents are being reported, but also...
There may be combinations of aspects of stress and hangover. We know that our entire community went through an incredibly difficult time during COVID.
Survival rates sit at just 5%. Currently in Sunshine, there are no defibrillators that are available 24/7, so St John Ambulance is installing 30 publicly accessible defibs every 400 metres.
On homes, outside community centres, sports grounds.
The first aid body will also provide free CPR training for 5,000 residents, a technique Alison Silva used to save her husband Gaston's life.
If I had not have had that CPR training, I don't think I would have been as calm as what I was.
The defib program in Sunshine could potentially save 780 lives every year. St John Ambulance is now calling on the state government to provide a funding boost so it can be rolled out across other at-risk suburbs.
Hotspot postcodes include Werribee and Point Cook, Cranbourne and St Albans. Men over the age of 50 are in the biggest danger zone unless they receive a life-saving shock. Eliza Rugg, Nine News.
So as well as having to have, well, at least one armed security guard at shopping centres, now we're going to have defibrillators at shopping centres as well, in case there is somebody who collapses suddenly. And then last week, Sunrise reporter Nathan Templeton, who died suddenly of a cardiac arrest while walking his dog.
Much loved former Sunrise Melbourne reporter Nathan Templeton has tragically died. The 44-year-old father of two reportedly suffered a medical episode while walking his dog.
The COVID mRNA vaccine is not the only COVID-related product Pfizer has produced. It's the antiviral Paxlovid, and our government and US government and lots of Western governments have paid Pfizer millions and billions of dollars subsidizing Paxlovid, the antiviral. So our government has promoted that if you're at a at-risk category, elderly or with comorbidities, you can get a free a free packet of Paxlovid from the pharmacy to treat your COVID. They cost $1,000 each. So, the US government spent $12.6 billion taxpayer dollars on subsidizing Pfizer. So there's been two recent studies. The first that Pfizer funded finds that Paxlovid does not actually work. They've known this since July 2022, but for reasons unknown, waited 2 years to publish the results. And there has also been another study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that about one in four patients on Paxlovid suffered a Paxlovid rebound. The study didn't just analyze the presence of viral fragments. It found that 24.5% of enrolled patients on Paxlovid suffered a symptomatic rebound. So it is effective. You get two COVID infections for the price of one. Joe Biden got a rebound, a COVID infection when he took Paxlovid. So yes, and we've also had masks. The Cochrane review of masks found that they didn't work. But we still have the COVIDians saying, they say that the vaccines hardly work, we just keep taking them. They claim that the masks still have magical powers, and they'll still urge people to play Paxlovid, claiming that it also saves you from death from COVID. It may be free. It may be free for the people who get Paxlovid, but it's costing us taxpayers $1,000 every time it is dispatched at a pharmacy. So they did give away masks for free. They're still the masks zombies there. Though the pro-Palestine, pro-Extinction Rebellion people, I suspect they claim they wear masks for COVID protection, but that's just to cover their identity. We've also had in 2024, with it being a US presidential election year and a UK general election, India is having its general election as we speak as well. There's been talk about, will there be a black swan event? Will there be a PSYOP? Obviously, the COVID lockdowns in 2020 benefited Joe Biden. He does seem to be recovering in the polls. Americans who are going to vote for the pro-peace candidate. Biden, who is, he wants to support a forever war, fund a forever war between Ukraine and Russia. But then you have the neocon rhino Republicans who have got their ear in Trump, want him to fund forever war between Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis, and Iran. Iran has 80 million people in it, so it's a bit more than the 2 million who are in Gaza. And so there'd be a lot more people who would die there. But so there's also, there can be that. Because apparently there is an ability to suspend elections in the US if there's a war. They're also could be hoping for another pandemic because they have found in 20 cattle herds now across the United States. It's termed highly pathogenic avian influenza. H5N1. And so this is a new variant of bird flu that was discovered in 2021. There was a farm worker who was infected in Texas from, and their main symptom was pink eye. They seem to have made a full recovery. There's lots of, they've been spreading to mammals. There's been lots of dead sea lions across the coast of Chile, and also minks that are being farmed in Spain and Finland. The virologist infectious diseases experts, they say this is alarming that the bird flu, it has gone to mammals as well. And so they're claiming that although there's no confirmed case of human-to-human transmission, not even cow-to-cow, it could be some contaminated feed. There's been no conclusion here, but this is from the CDC, Center for Disease Control website. The COVIDians accounts, they you can tell sort of the glee that they claim that they care about people, but a lot of them wish harm on people. Say, oh, I hope that this is that we have a devastating bird flu pandemic, so people take viruses more seriously and wear masks. It's called highly pathogenic because in confirmed cases, 51% of diagnosed cases have died. There's been a lot of sick and a number of sick and dead Cambodians because there's been a lot of dead chickens there. But that's an older variant. There was a human case of bird flu in Colorado from a chicken farm worker. I wondered whether it was the South Park chicken lover had struck again. I'm not sure if you remember. It was one of the early South Park episodes. The librarian to teach Officer Barb Brady to read, he has sex with a bunch of chickens. So Officer Barb Brady has to read to solve the crimes. I wonder if he was inspired by Peter Singer, who is one of the co-founders of the Greens, who is an apologist for what is it? He says consensual bestiality. I digress. So yes, they're going to have to cull a lot. Well, they already have culled a lot of chickens and also cows. Where are the animal liberationists? These mass murder of cattle and chickens and minks. And where are all the animal liberationists? Because Dr. Fauci, the U.S. U.S. National Institutes of Health have funded so many experiments which kill rats and hamsters because they breed, humanized mice and just kill them all with a bunch of viruses. Where are the animal liberationists there? But they're happy for, they treat Dr. Fauci as a god. Dawn Browning says Joe Biden recovering is not an option, though. Donald Trump, he certainly didn't satisfy many pro-lifers with his video last week when he said that abortion should be left up to the states as per the overturning of Roe versus Wade. He's not going to favor a federal abortion ban at 15 weeks. Abortion now is illegal in Texas with exceptions to save the life of the mother. I can't remember rape or incest, but Trump said that Arizona went too far by its Supreme Court ruling that an old abortion law making it illegal is now enacted. He said so, and this is because states such as Ohio and Michigan, they had ballot measures which enshrined the right to abortion in the Constitution. And I think a lot of pro-lifers made the mistake of believing that after the overturning of Roe versus Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court, there'd just be a culture of life that would just come out. But it turns out a lot of U.S. women love having abortions. They love having that Plan D for death option. And so the Republicans, well, Donald Trump wants to win, and so do the Republicans. So they're prepared to sacrifice the right to life to try and win in November. Now, I almost nearly forgot about reporting on this story, but I'm glad I didn't, because this is absolutely shocking and disgusting. So there is a Melbourne businessman who has avoided jail after pleading guilty to a child sex offence. The man's identity is the subject of a 20-year suppression order. The man posted graphic voice messages on online forum, which a judge described as disgusting. So in 2020-2021, he posted graphic voice messages in online chat and forum and spoke about raping and torturing toddlers and babies. The 20-year suppression order formalized by Judge Peter Berman on Thursday makes it illegal for anyone to publish this man's name, age, or other details that connect him to the crime. The man has links to prominent figures in the Victorian legal system and continued to work as a consultant in his field of expertise when the case was before the courts. Judge Berman, who was brought in from New South Wales to oversee the case, described the man's action as disgusting, reprehensible, and frankly, deeply disturbing. But as he will only get Judge Berman suspended his 15-month jail sentence and placed him on a 3-year good behaviour bond and ordered him to pay $5,000. He's placed on the sex offenders register for 8 years. While prosecutors called for the man to be jailed, Judge Merrin sided with defence lawyers, argued there are exceptional circumstances that justified the man's imminent release. Psychologists described the man as fragile and said he abused antidepressants and alcohol. In the lead up to posting voice message on the online forum, pedophile Nazis are my ultimate fantasy, the man said in one recorded message. Judge Berman, who said police raided the man's home, found no evidence that he possessed other child abuse material, ever acted on his fantasy. However, the judge made it clear the offending was not harmless. The court was told the man was deeply ashamed of his actions and the impact it had on his family. Suppression of orders granted to protect the offender's mental health. Again, what about the protection for the community? So this just, it just makes you shake your head. And there's a, why, again, Victoria is the suppression capital. Remember, they tried to suppress the name of the man accused of murdering Samantha Murphy, Patrick Oren Stevenson. And also, in the United States, we have the charges against what's his name? P. Diddy now, or what's it? He should change his name to pedophile now, as the meme said last week. There are reports now that his real name is Sean Combs. P. Diddy. His bodyguard claims music mogul had tapes of politicians and princes. Gene Dealer was present the night when Notorious Big was fatally shot in 1997, made the sensational comments during an interview on The Art of Dialogue. I don't think it's only celebrities going to be shocked. He had politicians in there. He had princes in there. He had a couple of preachers in there. Can you imagine? He had every room bugged. Asked why Combs Media Department had stayed silent on the allegations against him, Deal responded, either they took part in some of the stuff that happened or they're too scared it may mess up the brand. Fox News says Jesse Weiss speculated the tapes, if they exist, are now in the hands of the feds, and that's a lot of blackmail. Deal's comments echo those of rapper Rodney Lil Rod Jones, who claimed Combs had hidden cameras through his home to record sex tapes filming celebrities during his freakout parties. Combs has denied all the allegations against him and hasn't been hit with any criminal charges of yet. So he was running an Epstein Maxwell style blackmail operation. Should we just ask the question, if we're still allowed to, is he working for somebody who, like, did he just collect all this blackmail material on politicians, printers and preachers for the hell of it? Was he working for somebody like Epstein was for Mossad? Now, of course, even though these are the most heinous of offences against children, they don't get the same headlines, even though they're the worst of the worst. Now, we will finish off with one final stabbing story. That is the death of double murderer O.J. Simpson, the NFL footballer and actor who murdered his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and also waiter Ron Goldman in a jealous-fueled rage. I mean, the evidence was a completely slam dunk case evidence-wise, because there was blood in OJ's house, his mixed with Nicole's, but the reason he was found not guilty by the jury is because, well, this is what one of the jury members said, basically because they believe that the white police officers had got away with beating Rodney King 2 years earlier, which resulted in the LA riots, where 63 people were murdered and Rodney King didn't even die. And he was no saint. He was inebriated. He resisted arrest, lunged, and that was when the police beat him. So this was a black juror basically saying why they let OJ off even though he was guilty, because, well, as a sort of get square because of what happened to Rodney King.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit OJ because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of them.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
Now, I've been watching in the aftermath of O.J. Simpson's death from cancer at the age of 76, that miniseries, The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story, which you can watch on Disney Plus. It's a 10-part miniseries. It got critical acclaim. Cuba Gooding Jr. plays O.J. Simpson, there is David Schwimmer, who plays Robert Kardashian. John Travolta plays Robert Shapiro. Sarah Paulson plays the prosecutor, Marsha Clark. It's a Ryan Murphy production, so there's a lot of shared cast members with these American Horror Story shows. But it accurately portrays that OJ's dream team successfully played the race card, and also hinted to the jury that there was a racist conspiracy theory he could have been framed OJ Simpson for. So what are they saying? That some white supremacist carried out the murders because, well, the victims were a race traitor and a Jew, and they wanted to frame the black man for it. Though it seems today that everyone's accepted that he is guilty, is found liable in a civil case. Though according to CNN's Stephanie Ulm, it was about time a black man got away with murdering white people, since white men got away with murdering black people.
And it's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
Stephanie Elam, thanks so much.
And she wasn't the only black CNN correspondent contributor to say this. This is Ashley Allison.
But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You right. know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers. And I guess I would just close with this, is that there was racial tension then, there is racial tension now. It might not be the backdrop of the Trump campaign, but until this country is ready to actually have an honest conversation about the racial dynamics from our origin story till today, we will always have moments like O.J. Simpson that manifest, and our country will always be divided if we don't actually deal with the issue of race.
Now, a seminal book on the use of the race card by black activists to excuse black crime and to perpetuate black grievance is by Ann Coulter, Mugged. This was released in 2012. Racial demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. And most of Ann Coulter's books, Bill Maher, her friend, summarized it. They're one word, how the liberals are fucking things up. Bill Maher finally admitted that abortion is murder on his show recently. So this basically talks about how under Barack Obama, we talked about race more than in the past because things were getting pretty good there were advancement for blacks, African Americans, whatever you want to call them, into the 60s, even though there were still discriminatory laws, until The Great Society by Lyndon Johnson, which introduced the welfare state, which is still perpetuated for today. So all of this division, it hasn't been white people have been dividing people. It has been the black racial demagogues, you know, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons. There's a whole list of them there. Yeah, Ann Coulter, although she's a former Trumper and pretty much now a never Trumper, but her books are absolutely they are filled with not just facts, but they are written in a real punchy way. I can't recommend her books books enough to you all. So that brings us to the end of Tim's News Explosion for another week. So I will next see you all on Friday night because myself and Jue DeBoer, we are going to resurrect Trad Tasman Talk for a one-off show. So it'll air on the Unshackled YouTube channel, 6 p.m. Melbourne, Australian Eastern Standard Time, which is 8 p.m. New Zealand time, Auckland, where Jue DeBoer is. So the reason we are bringing the show back is because Reality Check Radio, which, as you know, I contribute a weekly segment on Paul Brennan's breakfast program on Australian news, and Jue DeBoer has his own show, The Dialogue, where he's had huge guests such as Martin Selner and the Golden One, and also Laura Taylor, Sam Malaya's wife. He's currently in prison for stickers. So we are going to, well, basically compare the performances of our respective governments. And also this Ann Coulter. The latest news to come out of New Zealand, a member of Brian Tamaki's Destiny Church pled guilty to vandalising the K Road Rainbow Crossing and has got to pay $16,000 New Zealand dollars in to repair the crossing. It cost $16,000 to paint a rainbow back on a crossing, and it's also apparently restitution as well. So yes, this was the Auckland crossing, which was called a hate crime against a crossing there. So yeah, it's the ugly poo progress flag there. I'm still trying to arrange an interview with Brian Tamaki there. Dewey had him on his radio show. Brian is eager to come on, but is obviously in demand at the moment. He is leading a noble crusade against the rainbow ideology, against the drag queen story times. He has given his unwavering support to the name Ford O'Connor, who believe he is married to Brian Tamaki's granddaughter, because he's in his 60s now, Brian. Like, looks pretty good for 60s, I will say. So I'm hoping to have him on, but that is certainly something that myself and Dewey Jabbour will talk about. Richard Wollstonecroft, he has done a three-part report from Tiger Mountain with David Thrussell. He is one of his co-presenters from the No Goach show. Two parts have been uploaded so far, and the third part will be uploaded soon. So make sure. Now, as you know, all of the Unshackled productions are on our Substack, theunshackled.substack.com. That's where you can also sign up for to be a paid supporter at $5 per month, $50 per year, or founding member, $500 per year. And then we have theunshackled.net/membership. We still post our written articles on theunshackled.net, as well as Reality Check Radio podcast appearances as well. So we have bronze $5 per month, silver $10 per month, gold $25 per month, and platinum $50 per month. I'm nearly out of my voice, though. I'm not sick, though. I have run out of water. And I think my camera has my server is overloaded here. Can you all still hear and see me? I'm back on here now. So I guess that's time to call it a night here. So I guess stay safe, stay sane, and try not to get too down at the dumps in these very uncertain times. Good night, everybody.
Tim's News Explosion. 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 Tim's News Explosion.